You are listening to a Science Actually production.
Hi! Let me ask, what's your favorite planet?
Well, I don't have a favorite. I find them all fascinating. They're all part of a...
Mine's the sun! Always has been. I like it because it's like the king of planets.
Well, actually, Harry, it's not a planet, it's a star.
Well, planet or star, when that thing burns out, we're all gonna be dead.
Good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
Good morning.
It is morning.
Oh, man. As we try to schedule guests for our wonderful interview series that's coming up, I'm realizing just how difficult it is to find times that are not at, like, 3 a.m. Australia time. If only the earth was flat.
It's not.
How you doing today, Benjamin?
Doing pretty good. It's a good day. Funny thing about the earth's rotation, it really makes my day.
Oh no. It begins. folks, I have some terrible news for you. On today's episode of Science Actually Presents the Nerd and the Scientist, there will be no science. There will be only bad science jokes. That's all we have.
Yeah. I have a joke about a black hole, but it sucks.
Ah!
God, how many times are you going to push that thing?
Oh, no. I'm discovering I have a drum kick, like a rimshot button, but it just has an infinite loop, and it just plays forever and ever. And it goes on for eternity.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, everyone, welcome back to another episode. And Kavi and I had the idea that we're going to tell each other sciencey, spacey jokes. And
is the idea not to laugh or to laugh? I'm not sure.
I think we're trying to get some groans.
All right, starting from now, we'll have a running groan count. Running groan count. Yep. All right, let's see. Show me your best groaner.
Yesterday, I was charged $10,000 for sending my cat into space. It was a cat astro fee.
I can hear the crickets. Oh, Lord. Hey, Benjamin.
Yes, sir.
What do you get when you cross a lamb and a rocket? A space sheep.
I like that. I thought it was funny. I like that one.
It works. It reminds me of this old joke of somebody once told me that this is a joke. It's like, what do you get when you cross an octopus and a combine harvester? And then the answer, the punchline is, I can tell you, but the joke only really works in sign language. It's a visual gag.
Oh.
I guess the sign for...
that wasn't...
Yeah, it doesn't work.
Hey, knock, crickets. Knock.
Who's there?
Solar.
Solar who?
Solar, are you going to think of a good joke? See, I was insulting your joke by making a bad joke.
That actually leads me perfectly into my next joke. Helium walks into a bar. The bartender says, sorry, we don't serve noble gases here. Helium doesn't react.
Ba-dum-bum! I like that one.
All right. A neutron walks into
a bar. And asks how much for a beer. And the bartender says, for you, no charge.
That's always a good one. It's a good bar. Yeah, you set the bar high.
Oh man. Okay. All right. Okay.
All right. Hey, Benjamin, what do you call an alien with three eyes?
I know this one.
An alien. It's so bad.
You know why the Americans won the space race?
Why?
Because the Soviets were Stalin.
Ah.
Yeah, I think we're going to have to rely heavily on that. What's it called? The rim shot.
Because... The rim shot, yeah. Although we can hear it. We can hear it in our recording studio. I'm not sure if it comes up in post. I just have to clip that in every 5 seconds.
I hope it comes up in the recording because it's going to be hard to put together.
Otherwise, it's just like we tell a joke and then just nothing, silence.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be
there's absolutely nothing. Or, as they say about Orion's belt, it's a waste of space.
Ah.
The waste. The waste. The belt. The waste. Belt. Waste. No?
No, I get it. Hey, Benjamin, actually, speaking of wastes, how does the solar system keep its pants from falling down?
I don't know.
The asteroid belt.
Ah, I should have seen that coming. Nice!
It's so bad. It's so bad.
It's not bad. These are fantastic. When the moon was a young moon, it was quite the handful. And the moon's parents said, "Give us strength." Yeah! Those are the phases of the moon, everybody. There's waning and waxing and gibbous and crescents. Gibbous.
Yeah, give us another joke that's funny.
Oh, there you go. Okay. All right. Do you know where you can see Jupiter's latest photos?
No.
On its Facebook account.
I think at this point, I think you're winning at 3-0.
Well, I like all the jokes.
For those keeping track at home. Oh, man. Benjamin, you read any good books recently?
I can't read. You know that. No.
Oh, sorry. I forgot. I just assumed the glasses. I actually just started this book on anti-gravity, and I cannot put it down.
But a book. It's a good book.
It's a great book. I am actually reading a fantastic book about the history of radar technology during the Second World War and how it connects to radio astronomy. But I will talk about that in another episode.
I actually listened to another podcast about a very similar thing the other day. It was actually quite interesting. Huh. But yes, how we stumbled upon radar is actually quite interesting. And it proved to be quite useful. And a lot of people actually didn't believe it existed.
Like, sure. I love the expression stumbled upon. It's like these great secrets and mysteries of the universe were out there. These great technologies. And like somebody was going down a flight of stairs in the dark and accidentally like fell face first into a Nobel Prize worthy discovery.
But it's kind of true. Nobody set out to make a TV. Nobody had the idea, I'm going to put a box in everyone's home and we're all going to watch pictures, moving pictures that make sounds on it. And there's going to be TV shows and everything. It was an accident. It was just somebody trying to work on radio who discovered that, I don't have the names of everything right now because we prepared jokes.
He was an Australian guy, actually, I think.
Sure, why not? And
we'll claim him.
They realized that they could send more than just sound. And they just tried something, and then sure enough,
yeah.
Just an accident. Nobody went to do that. You didn't go to college to look to learn how to make a TV. Someone just made one on accident.
Yeah. Hey, Benjamin, do you know why the sun goes to college? To get a little brighter.
Do you know why the sun did not go to college?
Why?
It's already got a few million degrees.
I like that. I like that.
I told that to the kid earlier. I had some jokes lined up for this show today, and I told it to him, and that was the only one he didn't groan at. So I'm very happy it worked.
No, that's a good one. I also have to say that, like, after starting my PhD, I have now gained both a new respect and a new horror over people who have multiple PhDs. Like, I'm not talking about, like, a, you know, honorary doctorates or whatever. Like, actual, like, oh, yeah, you know, yeah, I got a PhD in astrobiology, and then I thought I'd switch it up, so then I got another doctorate in, you know, quantum optics. It's like, bro, why are you doing this to yourself? It's a lot.
I don't like those people. Actually, I do. I'm jealous of those people.
It kind of makes sense. Like, when you watch a, you know, one of those just like really classic template, you know, villain movies, and the villain is like an evil scientist. Like, you get it. You understand why doing science can turn you villainous.
Really?
It's true.
Maybe it's we need true. To implement some sort of international rule, like 3 PhDs is your max. You can't have more.
It's the 3-strike rule. Yeah, that's, I like
well,
that.
Wait, if you study and you work your way towards a PhD in subject A,
mm-hmm.
doesn't a good chunk of that carry over if you want to study subject B, which is like a related topic or subject? Or do you have to really start from scratch all over? I studied film and cartoons in college, and I have a bachelor's degree, and then I stopped. So, of course, I have to ask these questions of what it's like to actually make a decent go of college.
I think, generally speaking, most people who switch their PhD topic during their PhD will kind of have to start again, if it's to like a similar topic. If you finish a whole PhD and then you decide to do another one on the same topic, I think that's kind of, or in a similar topic, I think that's kind of rare, but you could potentially do that and you might be able to do it a bit faster. But, you know, if you're doing it totally, if you're going from like genetics to physics, you'll probably just like completely start over. Probably, I assume. I would never do that because I am a sane person. One is enough.
One is enough. We're done. One and done.
Yeah. Actually, Benjamin, how do you know when the moon has had enough to eat?
I don't know.
It's full.
See, I like that. I'm easy with the jokes. I'll take it. Einstein released his theory about space.
Oh, yeah.
And it was about time, too. I like that one.
I wonder if there are folks listening to this episode in the car who are just like banging their head against the steering wheel until it honks. Just like, no, please, no, I can't change podcasts. I'm driving. Please stop.
A pair of twins decided on adventurous careers. One became an astronaut. The other became a skydiver. He was more down to earth.
Ah. Nice. I like it.
Well, both careers I got a good one.
Both careers dependent on gravity.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very much so. You know, I'm kind of disappointed. I keep pressing the space bar on my keyboard, but I'm still on Earth.
Damn it.
Beep, beep, boop. Every time.
I wanted to have a space-themed birthday party, but there was nobody to plan it. Oh, that wasn't good. That wasn't a good one at all. That wasn't a good one. That was terrible.
Well, I mean, when planets do get together for a birthday party or some other event, do you know what kind of music they sing?
No.
Neptunes. Ah.
This is terrible. Benjamin finds everything that I say funny, which is really like great for my ego, but it's terrible for this groan competition.
I don't know if I'm having a groan competition or just me having a very good day. I'm really liking it.
For folks who haven't realized, last season at some point, we've just realized that we're doing this show for ourselves. That's it. If you're listening, cool. If you got feedback, okay, that's nice, but we're just having fun.
Well, people like it. I mean, that's what I find the most entertaining. These guys are nuts. They're just talking to themselves. And I love it.
I mean, 2,000 people apparently agree. So thank you.
Thank you, 2,000 people.
Yeah. 2,098. All 2,098 of you.
Oh, wow.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
Oh, 2,098. Oh, okay. Let's see if we can get that to 2,099.
Yes. What joke do you have that will garner us that one extra listener?
All right. This is
ignoring the fact that they will have to already be listening in order to hear the joke. But yeah, put that aside.
Well, as of late, I've been obsessed with the moon. I'm hoping it's just a phase.
Ah.
Huh? Huh? 2,099.
Well, if that didn't do it, this one will. Hey, Benjamin, who in the solar system has the most loose change?
I already love it.
The moon. It keeps changing quarters.
That's great.
All right, I think we need an ad break. Please tell me that we have something sane for the ad break.
Sure. Hey, Kavi.
Yeah.
You're reading a book, or you mentioned, I have another book for you. Are you ready for a joke book so bad it sucks like a black hole? Introducing the worst book of space jokes ever written. It's not just any bad joke book. It's astronomically awful. In a universe full of infinite possibilities, this book is miserable in every single one of them. Why is it called the worst? Because it's light years beyond terrible. This joke book has been through wormholes and back, and it's still not funny. If laughter is the best medicine, this joke is an anti-vaccine. It's like a cosmic void where humor goes to die. Even aliens would be baffled by how unfunny it is. Imagine a supernova of bad humor exploding and leaving nothing but awkward silence behind. That's what you get with the worst book of space jokes ever written. So if you're brave enough to face the absolute nadir of comedy, get your hands on this book and experience the ultimate in galactic groaners. Huh?
I love that this sounds like a book that's so depressing that it has like one of those mental health hotline numbers on the front, just as like a warning sticker. For folks who are just listening, I got him right as he was taking a big old sip of water. it's like in a, you know, an infinite universe, there are infinitely many jokes, and we've found the least funny ones and compiled them all for you. We found the one parallel universe where humor does not exist and taken all of their jokes.
What's the first thing the sun says to its solar flares?
What?
Raise and shine.
That's four.
That's a groan. What's the moon's favorite breakfast?
I don't know.
Cinnamon raisin toast and crescents with space jam on top.
I don't know how I feel about that one.
Ah, okay. All right. That one just died. Okay.
I have to say, speaking of cereal, when I was in the U.S. on my last visit in the great state of Illinois, or as the locals say, Illinois, I tried Lucky Charms for the first time.
Oh, my God.
And I have to say, unpopular opinion maybe, I don't understand what all the fuss is about.
Okay.
I don't get it. The textures, there's like 18 of them in a single bite. Who wants that in a cereal?
He's insulting my culture now.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I thought we were just going to have a good time telling each other jokes and just have to bash my country. That's fine. Or bash Illinois.
Illinois. What is actually quite cool. Oh, sorry.
Are you familiar with Fruit Loops?
Fruit Loops, yes. Yeah.
Did you know they're all the same flavor? All the different loops, they're all the same flavor. They're just different colors.
Wait, next you're going to be telling me that M&Ms are all the same flavor.
Yeah, but the green ones make you help you hit home runs. Never mind. That was a commercial from the baseball M&M's commercial from like the '80s. I think it was the '80s, late '80s. And it was talking about M&Ms and these kids playing baseball. And they're saying, if you eat a green one before you go to bat, you hit a home run. If you eat a yellow one, you get on base. So they eat a green one and got a home run. I'm like, yay! Silly commercial. I remember it. You're in Australia.
Yeah, it's good.
Baseball.
It's good. If even 1% of our audience gets that joke, that's 21 people who you have like maybe made their day. I mean, they could get it and not find it funny, but you might have brought a smile to 20 people's faces. It's nice. It's a good feeling.
I love that. I love it.
Hey, Benjamin, I have a joke, but
yes, sir.
If you don't like it, I have an alternate punchline.
Okay.
Why did the cow go to space? To visit the Milky Way.
Ba-doo-boo.
Okay. The alternate ending is to see the moon.
I like the Milky Way one better.
Milky One's better. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. You know why Mickey and Goofy went to space?
Oh, I do. Can I tell the people?
What? Yeah, tell the people.
To find Pluto.
Bang! That's a good one. I don't know about you. I'm having a really good time. This is fun. More.
Hey, Benjamin, why can't you trust an atom?
Because they make up everything. Yes.
I have that t-shirt. I should wear it.
Okay, so you knew that one. What do you got next? What do you got?
I'm going to go out tonight, hang out with some friends, and afterwards I'm going to go get some ice cream. I think I'm going to get a Big Dipper. Yeah, that was a horrible one. Yes.
Like a noble guess, I will not be reacting to that one. Speaking of chemistry, Benjamin, why are all chemists excellent at solving problems?
Tell me.
Because they have all the solutions.
Dang, I knew it was something to do with solutions.
Nice. I also have a biology joke, if you'd like.
I'll take it.
Why do biologists look forward to casual Fridays? Why? Because they're allowed to wear jeans to work.
When I was in college, I took a biology class. We had to write a paper. And I wrote one about mitosis, and I titled it, first the cell splits left, the cell splits right, they do the hokey pokey and turn themselves around. That's what I titled it. And I wrote all about cellular mitosis, and I just made jokes the entire time. Sort of. I was very lighthearted about it. But the title sold it, and the teacher was just thrilled. And
you should find that essay, and we should do an entire episode where you're just reading that essay.
Fine. She put it on her wall in her class, which I thought was great. Just the front of it, because the title wasn't big and bold.
Nice.
She liked it.
I think it's funny as well that that joke kind of has not aged as well as we would have thought, because wearing jeans to work is kind of common now, depending on what industry you work in. I think back in the day, everyone would go to work wearing a suit. Mm-hmm. Like anybody who worked in an office, right, would go to work wearing a suit. Slacks, trousers, a blazer. But yeah. Kids these days.
There's a good, not documentary, but it's a movie about Steve Jobs and how he, what's the name of the actor? Noah Wiley is the actor. And he plays Steve Jobs, and it's all about Steve Jobs' and Apple's coming up and coming into prominence and whatever. And they're interviewing engineers and whatnot. And this is back in the very beginnings of Apple. And all these people would come in, people who left IBM or couldn't get into IBM or some other big companies like Xerox, whatever. And they're showing up in the standard, all of them, short haircut, black suit, black tie, whatever. And Steve Jobs is there in a t-shirt, ratty jeans, barefoot, and asking them questions that have nothing to do with the job itself. And they're all just floundering. It was actually quite a funny scene. Movie's okay. But yes, wearing a suit and tie used to be the thing.
Back
but
in
not
that
everyone
day.
Could pull off wearing a spacesuit. But I'm going to rock it.
Hey, Benjamin, why do programmers prefer dark mode?
Why?
Because light attracts bugs.
I love that joke. I love that so much. I've done programming, and I've come across a gaggle of bugs. I've also had my computer in light mode, which actually literally attracts bugs.
Oh God! Yeah, I remember that with the old, like the cathode ray tube screens, the screens that were like just like a box rather than a screen, like a plane. I remember that if I had the window open and I was using it at night, it would both attract bugs and also like static electricity zap me every time I touched the screen. Good times.
Yes. In the room I'm in right now, I have beautiful LED lights and they're very, very nice, but they're motion activated. As long as there's something moving around, they stay on. But if I sit still long enough, which most people do when they're sitting at a desk, the lights will turn off, but my screens are bright. So I know it's time to just get up and move around once in a while when everything just suddenly goes dark. And then whatever little critter is flying around in the room goes straight to the monitor. Gotta get up, gotta move, need to do something else.
Speaking of moving, did you hear about that time that Heisenberg was pulled over by a cop?
No.
So the cop asks him, do you know how fast you were going? And Heisenberg replies, no, but I know exactly where I am.
Okay. That's actually a very good joke.
It was so good, in fact, that it made you pause and consider the meaning of life rather than laughing.
No, that was a good joke. Like, it made me stop and pause and realize that in order to continue, I'm going to have to dumb us back down to use my stupid jokes, because that was a good joke. Kavi screwed up and gave a good joke.
Oh, My bad.
Thanks a lot. Everything I have is just scrap. I have a good joke. Last week, I attended a lecture on Halley's Comet. It went completely over my head.
Ah. Are they going to be repeating that lecture anytime soon?
Every 76 years. 76, right? Yeah.
Something like that. I think so. It is, like, my knowledge of comets is relatively limited. I think what people don't realize about science is it used to be if you were an astronomer, you probably had like really decent general knowledge about astronomy. These days, like astronomy has become so niche. Like the only way that you used to be able to do astronomy was like either with your eyes or with an optical telescope, right? Mm-hmm. And nowadays, even within the world of observational astronomer, like people who are looking at things and taking measurements, you have optical, infrared, UV, X-ray, radio. You have like you have neutrino astronomers who have their observatories underground, right? The only astronomers who observe underground. And like, even within those like wavelength categories, it's still niche. It like depends on what you're actually working on, like classes of objects, comets, stars, planets, galaxies, nebulae. All right, let's go. What you got? Hey, better.
What's an astronaut's favorite part of his computer?
Oh, I know this one.
Bring it.
The space bar.
That is true. That is true.
Hey, Benjamin, what do you call a tick on the moon?
I'm just looking that exact joke.
Give it to us then.
A lunatic. Do you know how aliens catch up on the latest adventures of Superman and Batman?
How?
They read comet books.
Ah. I feel like for people watching this episode on YouTube or TikTok, I'm going to spend like half of the time in an open-faced, toothless smile that looks like that bad pun dog meme that... just like waiting. So enjoy that, folks watching the video. What have we done? How have we done an entire episode like this? Why?
We're not done yet.
I have one joke left.
I have two or three dozen. Ask Kavi. Right, just ask Kavi. He knows. He's seen my notes.
Oh my god!
Really ridiculously long.
The prep. No, it's good. It's thorough. I like it. Okay, so let me get my like last joke out of the way, and then it's all you for the rest of the episode.
No, just rapid fire crap. Go for it.
Yeah. So, speed round. I love it. So the two atoms are walking down the street and one suddenly stops and says, "Oh no, I think I've lost an electron." The other atom says, "Are you sure?" And the first atom says, "Yeah, I'm positive."
That's good. That's good.
I'm glad you like it. All right, I'm out of ammo. I think it's time for the speed round.
Here we go. Speed round of some of the finest top quality jokes ever.
Oh Lord.
When do you think we'll be able to travel to the moon? Lunar or later? Will people ever live in outer space? Who knows what the future has in star? Did you see the space alien on The Voice?
No.
You can't carry a Neptune. Ah, you kind of did that one already. That's terrible. All right.
I like the direction it was going.
Are you considering dating a space alien?
No.
Well, then you should have a plutonic relationship. That was a good way. Yeah. You actually walked right into that one. Is the rocket scientist's discovery significant? It's earth mattering. Mattering. Yeah. 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 That one we did. That one we did. Why didn't you put your away your laundry?
Why?
Because my closet is outer space. Get it? Out of space.
Okay.
You know why I fell off my skateboard?
Why?
I lost ground control. What's another term for a lit candle at night?
I don't know.
Dark energy.
Nah.
Come on. I like that one.
Not having that one at all. Unsubscribe.
Unsubscribe. He unsubscribed from his own show.
just from that joke. Just from that joke.
Caught it. We're done. It's going to get worse.
That's it. We made it 4 seasons. That's it.
Anyway. Well, do you know why the sun is the ultimate optimist?
Why?
Because it's always looking at the brighter side of things.
See, I had a feeling it was going in that direction, but it's not. It's not looking at the brighter side. It's directed. I guess technically.
Oh God, that is the most scientisty, nerdy way to destroy a joke.
Of course,
the sun's not looking at things because the sun doesn't have eyes, and technically it's a sphere, so it's kind of pointing in all directions at the same time, and it's sending photons everywhere. So of course, everything it sends, it's what it sees, but technically it's not seeing because it can't receive, you know, the light that's bouncing back from it. Thanks.
I was legitimately thinking at least half of those things. It's fine. It's a good joke. It's a good joke. Oh man.
That was fun.
should we quit at the peak?
Go out on top.
Go out on top, just like the sun.
Even though technically, actually, it's not on top.
It's not on top of anything. It's kind of in the middle of everything, but really not in the middle because everything's going around us. So sometimes it's something on one side, but not on the other side. Therefore, it's not in the middle.
Well, technically, everything's not going around it. It's going around the common center of gravity somewhere near it. And that's just about solar system-bound objects, not necessarily all things outside of the solar system.
Oh God! If you have listened to this and decided that you never want to see us again, what you should do is go find us on the internet and subscribe to all of our channels. That will ensure that you never have to listen to this again. Benjamin, where can the people find you to do that on the interwebs?
If you'd like to tell us how much you enjoyed the jokes or just tell us your opinion of the jokes, please look us up or look me up under Science Actually on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Mastodon, Hive, what else? Threads, LinkedIn, everywhere. Look up Science Actually. How about you, Kavi? Where can the good people reach out to you and tell you what they think of your jokes?
I think for this episode, I'd prefer you reach out to my mother and tell her what you thought of my jokes, because she's likely to defend me and say, no, it's fine. He's funny. He's the funniest guy in the world. And if that fails and you can't reach her, then you can find me at Fun Fact Science on all the good social media platforms, as well as the bad ones, which is most of them, to be fair. You can also see us with your eyes, whether you have one eye, two eyes, or like some aliens, you have three eyes. You can see us on the YouTube or on the Clock app, as long as the Clock app is still functioning in the US of A. And let us know your thoughts. Let us know what your... Yes. Oh, sorry. That was the Clock app for reference.
Oh, what's the Clock app?
TikTok. TikTok is the Clock app. The Clock app is the TikTok, because clocks go... Or at least they used to, back in the days when people wouldn't wear jeans to work, or when green M&Ms were helping you hit home runs.
Look at this. I like my work. Whatever. I like my digital watch. It's actually quite nice, and my wife got it for me, and for the holidays a couple years ago, and I was very, very happy to have a smartwatch. It was great, and I hated it when I went to sleep, because I heard this incessant ticking noise, and it was just driving me nutty. And that's when I learned. I couldn't find it anywhere. And then I learned that this lovely Samsung digital watch's default setting has a very quiet ticking sound. So when you go to sleep,
to like emulate your ear, an analog watch. Wow.
I was like, it's really crazy. So I had to find a site. The first night I had it, I didn't sleep at all because I was trying to find the setting to turn it off.
Amazing. So yes, you can find us in all of those places and listen to us and see us and let us know your thoughts. And we look forward to being heard and seen by you on the next episode of Science Actually Presents The Nerd and the Scientist.
See you next everybody. Time. See you later.
From the outermost reaches of the universe to the innermost planets of our solar system, this is Space, the Infinite Frontier, with your host, Chicago Cubs broadcaster Harry Carey.
Hi, everybody. Harry Carey here. And welcome to Space, the Infinite Frontier. We've got a great show lined up for you. Joining us in the studio today, all the way from Caltech, is astrophysicist Dr. Ken Waller. Welcome to the show, Ken.
Thanks so much. It's nice being here.
Now, Doctor, recently they've discovered that there might be life on one of the moons of Jupiter. Yeah. Now, that's gotta be exciting for you.
Oh, yeah, Harry, we're thrilled to discover that life can theoretically exist below the surface of planets due to the heat caused by volcanic activity.
That's something else. Yeah. Hi! Let me ask, what's your favorite planet?
Well, I don't have a favorite. I find them all fascinating. They're all part of a...
Mine's the sun. Always has been. I like it because it's like the king of planets.
Well, actually, Harry, it's not a planet. It's a star.
Well, planet or star, when that thing burns out, we're all going to be dead.
Well, that's true, but it's not going to burn out for a very long time, of course.
I hope not. Hey, Doctor, have you ever seen an eclipse?
Oh, yeah, I've seen many, yes.
You know, if you stare at it head on, it'll burn your eyes out.
Well, it's not best to stare at the sun during an eclipse, you know.
But it's hard not to. I once took a pair of binoculars and stared at the sun for over an hour.
Why would you do that?
Curiosity, I guess. Heck, I'm curious like a cat. I have a couple of friends that call me Whiskers.
Because you're curious like a cat?
Yes. Hey, now, Ken, we all know that the moon is not made of green cheese.
Yes, that's true, Harry.
But what if it were made of barbecue spare ribs? Would you eat it then?
What?
I know I would. Heck, I'd have seconds. And then polish it off with a tall, cool Budweiser. I would do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Would you?
I'm confused.
It's a simple question, Doctor. Would you eat the moon if it were made of ribs?
Well, I don't know how to answer that.
It's not rocket science. Just say yes and we'll move on.
Yes.
Hey! How about this mad cow disease?
What about it?
Well, it was here for a while, then it went away. Your thoughts?
Yes, it was what was in the news for a while, and then it disappeared from the news.
Good point. Jeez, I hope I never get it. Hey, what about this? If you had a choice between being the top scientist in your field or getting mad cow disease, what would it be?
Well, of course I would choose to be the top scientist in my field.
Oh, good. I was worried you'd choose mad cow.
Why would you think that?
I guess I'm just a worrier. That's why my friends call me Whiskers.
I thought you said your friends called you Whiskers because you were curious as a cat.
Well, Dr. Waller, it has been a pleasure. We've covered a lot of ground, shared a few laughs. Thanks for coming on.
My pleasure.
He's a good kid. That's all the time we have. Join us next week with our guest, Albert Einstein. What? Well, apparently Albert Einstein died 42 years ago. You know what? We'll try and get him anyway. See you next time.